From Capital Broadcasting Company, this is WRAL Out and About. I am your host, Kathy Hanrahan. This is a podcast about bringing people together. And what I've noticed is that there's a lot of new people working at WRAL that I have not met because we have been in the middle of a pandemic and I'm not in the building. And it's really hard when you go, when you look at the TV and you're like, who's that? That's the kind of experience I had recently. Keenan Willard. I had no idea he was working at WRAL because we've had so many new people and so much going on. And I was pleasantly surprised when I got a chance to speak with him via Zoom. We did an interview. He's a new reporter. He is our Eastern North Carolina reporter. And I saw, we kind of been mentioning him on social media to kind of get you guys to get to know him a little bit more. He's a musician. He speaks a few languages. He's a lot of fun. It's funny because he actually went viral for doing a story concerning a Cardi B concert that was canceled when he was working in Texas. So he did go viral for doing that. And I actually, when you search his name, that's what you get, him doing this really funny stand-up. That was great. So anyway, I wanted to have him on the show so we could get to know him a little bit better. Hopefully you'll enjoy getting to know him as much as I did. Here is my chat with Keenan Willard. So Keenan, you are new to WRAL, but not new to North Carolina. You're from Raleigh originally, right?
That's exactly right. Born and raised in Raleigh, kind of the northwest part of town, just inside the Beltline. And I grew up, went to Broughton High School, and then went on to Washington and Lee University in Virginia. So about 4 hours up the road in our neighbor to the north, but Raleigh born and raised. So happy to be back in a kind of homecoming because of the job that I'm doing.
Yeah, you're back here in North Carolina. You're the Eastern North Carolina reporter, correct? So what does that mean? Where do you go? Like, where are all the places you go?
Exactly. Well, I mean, right now I'm speaking to you from Brunswick County at Sunset Beach, which is just on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. And this is, at this point, the furthest assignment that I've been sent out on. But I am pretty much tasked with covering the entire eastern half of the state. There's like 40 counties that fall in my map of coverage. Because we're really trying to expand our footprint and coverage out here, trying to form a more personal relationship with these communities and tell their stories on that really granular level that you get with WRAL in Raleigh, because there's so much presence there. I'm trying to step it up and be that kind of extension to this part of the state.
So we have to talk about how you went viral with your Cardi B. Like, what, first of all, like, you turned a nothing, you know, it was like, hey, look, this isn't happening, into something. So first of all, I'm not going to make the sound because there's no way I can do it. But is that just something you just thought of? Like, you had to do it. You just knew you had to make that sound.
Well, you're exactly right. Because, I mean, that day I was going to do this investigative type piece. And my manager in the newsroom just said, you know what? No, Cardi B canceled. And I'm sure there's going to be people who show up and don't know that it's canceled. So that's your story. And I was like, okay, kind of had the wind taken out of my sails there. And I, like you said, I get to a parking lot and over the course of a couple hours, a couple cars pull up and they're just like, oh, there's no concert. And that was the extent of the story. So I was like, I know I have to make this memorable and try to kind of bring something out of it myself. And that was what prompted the decision to make the now infamous viral clip sound.
So make the sound. Can you tell people what you said? You did you made the Cardi B, you did the whole like rolling the R thing. You did it. Can you just do it? Can you do it?
I did occur on the news.
Your parents were probably really proud.
I think they were like, journalism school was a good investment. But they were definitely happy to see when the clip kind of took off. And they, of course, had their phone blowing up with all these people like seeing it on. Like, Keenan was on Good Morning America this morning. Like, they loved that. So it was definitely an unforgettable start to my career, because it happened like that story was legitimately 3 months into my first job. So I was like, it's all downhill from here. This was this was the peak right there with the viral clip.
Well, what was it like? I mean, I know I went viral for eating a tarantula a couple years ago.
Did you?
I did. I ate a tarantula
Did you react calmly? Very, very
composed? Well, the story behind the tarantula is they serve it over at Bull City Burger over in Durham for like exotic meat month. I volunteered to eat it. I'm like, I'll eat the burger if they'll let me. So they put it on top of a burger and then you can squish it together and eat it. Well, I had a friend, I didn't even have a photographer. Like my friend came and met me and she was like, I have a meeting in like 20 minutes. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to get this done in 10. So she held the camera and we did a live stream, you know, and I just picked up the tarantula and just took a bite. And the woman next to me, the woman next to me, like almost passed out. She was like, oh, it tasted like a I felt like it tasted like rubber, like a tire, like charcoal, very like smoky. I just poured ketchup on
it. Wouldn't tarantula again? Yeah, no.
I just poured I would do it again. I would totally do it again. I didn't feel good like a few hours after. I was like, I shouldn't have eaten that. But no, I ate the tarantula and I got the t-shirt and everything.
And you said this is an annual event because
it is an annual event. So we need to go. Yeah, next year we will eat this tarantula next year. Whatever.
I'm there.
Well, I'm from South Louisiana. We eat gator and all kinds of stuff. Like it's not, you know.
Gator, I feel like it's a little less adventurous because it kind of tastes like chicken. You can get away with that, right? I've had gator before too.
If it's made right, you know, if it's made kind of, ooh, it tastes like a fish and chicken had a baby and you don't want to eat that. So it depends. It really depends. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think it's weird because it is funny when someone, especially people who haven't seen you in so long or something, or family sees you on something and they go, my mother-in-law was texting me at like 5 a.m. I just saw you on the Pittsburgh News eating a tarantula and she didn't know I did it. So she's looking at the newscast and she's like, did you just eat a tarantula? And she starts like texting me in the middle of the night, like early morning. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, I was going to do that.
Yeah, something casual. Exactly.
Exactly. So I think it's one of those things. So I know that was a huge moment for you. You're also a musician, which I think is pretty cool. So tell people about your music.
That was something that I was kind of inspired to do when I started my career, because I felt like I wanted something to really a hobby to kind of mellow me out after, you know, how stressful the daily grind of reporting can be. And I, growing up, taught myself how to play the guitar and piano, and I've loved music forever. But I never took the step to writing and recording my own music until I, you know, moved halfway across the country and was like, I want to find a community and kind of put myself out there. And I was just inspired to put 3 songs together and ended up putting them out there. Kind of like country singer songwriter type vibes, I think. And they were super well received. And my friends and family have, are always playing them and sending them to me. And it was kind of like a cool, I think, like well-rounding thing for me to be able to obviously have that very, very stern and professional face of my reporting career, but also be able to, you know, be a real person too and do stuff that I love.
I thought that was so cool because, you know, we had you going viral with the Cardi B thing. Then we find out you're a musician. We were like, we kind of fell in the rabbit hole when we were like, oh, let's find out who this new person is. Oh, look, he's got mm-hmm. YouTube. Oh, he's on here. He's on there. I think that's the fun part. I think when we have somebody new, we all do it. We find out there's a new person and we Google you because we got to know who's coming in. We got to know who this new person is.
Oh, absolutely.
And you had a whole bunch of stuff.
Everyone else was already at the station. So it was a little easier for me. But even then I'm joining during the pandemic and I'm still kind of trying to get a good sense of the place that I work and who everyone is.
The Out and About podcast will be right back. I am back with more from new WREL reporter, Keenan Willard. Your last job was in San Antonio, right?
My last job was in El Paso, Texas. El Paso. That was the first station. I worked in the duopoly there with the Fox and CBS affiliates. And it was kind of like unlike anything else I'd ever known. Like I said, I grew up in Raleigh. Here in Eastern North Carolina, even you can see how green and lush it is, and went to a place that is pretty much as barren a desert as you can imagine. And in far West Texas, it was like nothing else I'd ever seen. And it was really kind of like a test to start my reporting career too, because I had to get acclimated to the culture on the US-Mexico border that I was so different than anything I ever knew. And also try to learn how to be a reporter at the same time. So it was a big jump and I'm so grateful because I feel like it really prepared me to, after doing it somewhere so different, I get to come home and be like, you know, just a breath of fresh air in the place that I already know so well.
So I love that you speak Spanish, but you also speak French. I noticed that on your bio. Not a lot of people speak French. I did not have Spanish in high school. They only taught us French. I had 2 years of French.
Oh, wait, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
That's all I learned. But I can't speak French. I did great. Can't speak a word of it. I can understand a little. Un sac. I have a bag. Un sac. I have a bag. Yeah, that's what I know. I have a sack. Jan and whatever, like Jean Mapel, Kathy.
Je m'appelle Kathy.
Yeah. See, it comes out because that's how you would speak it. The Louisiana comes out in me, as I remember when I 2 years of French. You know what we did, and the teacher, he won't be mad now, but he would just we watched the movie French Kiss. That was like one of our assignments. We just watched that in class. Then we listened to the soundtrack. Yeah,
It really feel like an understanding of the language and a deep appreciation.
It just made me love Meg Ryan like more. I was like, I love that Meg Ryan.
It's actually part of the state curriculum there. It's really interesting.
It is. Well, I mean, if a civics teacher, you know, your civics teacher has to be your head football coach. So, you know, your civics teacher is your head football coach and he's reading
best
the book,
of both worlds, right?
Write it all out, you know? So I was getting the best, you know, education possible, which it's a wonder. What would you be doing if you weren't a reporter? What would you want to do?
I took the LSAT coming out of college because both my parents are attorneys, and I think, oh, there's always that drive. Like when, you know how there'll be days of work where, you know, you're just burnt out, nothing goes your way, and you just like drag yourself to the end of your shift and you're just, and the first thing out of my parents' mouth every time is like, LSAT's good for 5 years. I'm like, nope. So that's the deadline I'm pushing to. Wait until like, I think I got two more years before it expires. And I'm like, oh, law school's off the table. Oh man. But until then, every time I have a rough day at the office, they'll just be like, it's always an option.
I was so close to doing the LSATs. I had gone and I was getting ready to do that. And I was looking for a job in the industry and I got a job with the Associated Press. And so I took I didn't do the LSATs. And then whenever I was getting ready to move here, I was, you know, wondering what I was going to do, thinking about doing the LSATs again. And then I got a job at WREL. So every time I get ready and I get the book and I'm like, I think I'm going to go to law school. But it does help us have some knowledge of the law. And you've got two attorneys you can go to and ask questions. Because I find our jobs, we have to ask lawyers a lot of questions to understand some things.
That is, especially, you know, your more serious, obviously, investigative pieces where you're like, do I have this right? I really need to make sure I have my understanding of this issue. And, you know, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to a blank specialist attorney to explain things and make sure that I'm on the right track and not screwing everything up. So that is, I mean, journalists have to be an expert in just so many things, like at the drop of a hat to turn a story that day. I think that we have a little bit of that kind of attorney bug or mindset in us, because you have to have the understanding of the rules and the why this story matters. And to have that, you have to have the understanding of a lot of issues, many of them legal. So I get that. Yeah. I mean, if I ever run into an issue of real estate law in North Carolina, I can absolutely have two sources that are well informed on the subject.
Well, I'll tell you a trick there. Monica La Liberty and the great people at Five on Your Side love to do attorneys on call. So if you're ever in need of something, there are usually, I mean, every once in a while, like if it's not a virtual year, you got about, you know, 30 attorneys sitting in one of the studios. Just go over.
Over next door. Hey guys.
I've had to do that. I've been like, I need an employee. Yeah. Someone that does employment law. Is anybody? And they just raise their hands. I'm like, all right, got a question. And they're happy to answer. So that works out pretty good too.
Okay, I need us to get back off virtual, straight into the newsroom right away.
Get your sources right there. So I wanted to ask you, I know, you know, being from Raleigh, do you have any favorite places that you were so excited to be able to come back to and be able to enjoy, you know, food, drink, you know?
Favorite places in Raleigh? I mean, my end all be all special occasion place, the Angus Barn, is obviously right there. Like that was a big, like, this is going to be a tough transition. I don't know if I can leave this behind. So definitely there. That's going to be a good one. My favorite, just Standby, In a Fix, Need a Quick Lunch, Village Deli. Definitely always. There's the one near my house in the Cameronville, or the Village District location. That's kind of a good segue into, there's been a lot of changes in Raleigh since I've left. Since I left just high school and went to school in Virginia and then on to El Paso, there was that's like a 6-year window. And I kind of came back and there were parts of town that I didn't even recognize after half a decade that have been kind of a fun revisiting my hometown experience.
Are you a coffee person? Do you have any favorite coffee shops?
I am sometimes a coffee person. I kind of mix it up. I'll get on tea kicks, definitely, where I'm just all right, I'm going low caffeine here. I'm just going to have a nice chai tea and or matcha. So kind of switching it up, because obviously being a journalist, my options for doing my job effectively do not include cutting out caffeine entirely. I don't think I'd be able to drag myself through the day. I'm kind of always on my feet switching it up there with coffee, matcha, or tea. And I think that I didn't really explore the coffee shop scene very much when I was, because in high school, I didn't drink all that much coffee.
Well, Aaron Thomas is doing a great job for you. He's going around every week and he is exploring the coffee shops in the Triangle area and he's documenting it.
On Thursdays, I literally just screenshot Aaron, save it for the record. So that's my next move. I'm going right after you, Aaron. Thank you so much. He's my field scout out there doing advanced work, trying to point me out to the best places.
He's doing great. I love it every Thursday. So people don't know, on Instagram, WRL and WRL Out and About, he will share where he is having some coffee. So it's Coffee Thursdays with Aaron, which should totally be a thing. We should start a live stream of that, Coffee Thursdays with Aaron, where we all just drink coffee.
Find out.
What's he doing? I would love to. Yeah, I would love to be able to have. We're going to get him on the show too. We're going to talk about coffee. So it's so great to have you on here talking with me. Is there anything else you want people to really know about you that you think would help people as they're watching you? I love learning little tidbits about people that, hidden talents and stuff like that. Is there anything you can do that people don't know about?
Well, now I wish I didn't do the 5 fast facts, because you got all my good ones right off the bat there. You got my languages and musicianship.
I read the online. I read your bio. It was easy. You do research,
Wow, advanced journalism there. You went on the website. Most people can't do that. Something to know about me. Growing up, I would have my dream career, every kid when you're 5 or 6 wants to be a fireman or an astronaut, and there's no other options, right? But for me, it was I want to be a writer, a novelist. So I think that's the coolest part for me of the job that I'm in now, is obviously storytelling is everything. And while it's obviously not a 400 page expose and with all of the beautiful flowing adjectives and information I'd love to pour into every story, it is that expression of myself that I've always had, and the kind of childhood dream is what I'm doing here.
I love that you're all kids wanted to be an astronaut or a fireman. When I was 5, I think I wanted to be a Muppet. I don't think I had any. Was well defined enough.
Okay, apparently I was a very, very practical child.
You were.
No, I mean, that's true. I have you watch Step Brothers. There are those kids who want to be dinosaurs, right?
Well, the first celebrity. Had a
very tough conversation with your parents.
First celebrity I ever met was Grimace. So maybe that was it played into it, because Grimace from the McDonald's.
Just a foundational and very purple experience for you.
Yeah, he came to my McDonald's.
The Hamburglar is probably more attainable, because at least he was a person.
Yeah, but Birdie, it's all about Birdie. We don't know what happened to Birdie, or we don't know what happened with Mayor McCheese. These are characters who we do not know. My son is 8 years old. He has no clue who these people are.
I sit down
and take pictures, and I bring the, I'm like, this is who this is. This is who, and he just cracks up. He's like, this is what you did as a child and stuff. I'm like, yeah, there wasn't Blue's Clues. There wasn't Elmo. Elmo was not around.
We had to look at the pictures on the wall at McDonald's. Okay. And that's how we entertained ourselves.
Yeah. We didn't have, but we had way better Happy Meal toys. Way better Happy Meal toys for sure.
That is
definitely
objectively true.
True. Okay. So how can people get in touch with you? They can go to the website. Is there, you know, anything you want me to tell people or link to so that they can reach out to you for story ideas or anything like that?
My kind of big three social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all of them, if you just search Keenan Willard, I'll come up. And my email is on the station website as well. So you can definitely get me there too.
I want to thank Keenan for taking some time to speak with me today. It's always fun to get to know someone new, and I can't wait till all of us can go to have some coffee with Aaron Thomas and we can all just talk and hang out. This has been the Out and About Podcast, a production of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like what you heard, you can go to any place you get podcasts. Just make sure you follow us. And you can follow us on social media, WRL Out and About on all platforms. Have a fantastic rest of your day, guys.